The following recording, Alabama 10, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Kama Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onorov, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Syra Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Syra an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Syra was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Syra thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Syra had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire. So, Syra was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Syra had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Syra confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Syra warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in West Point, Georgia, and raised in Lynette, Alabama, in a small southern community of towns, which was referred to as the Valley. And this area is located on the Alabama-Georgia line. It's about 90 or so miles south of Atlanta, Georgia. I've always lived in this area, except for the time that I attended college in Montevallo, Alabama. And as far as I know, all of my family lived in this area before me, for as far back as anybody can remember. And for many years, the cotton mill industry was actually the life's blood of the Valley area. The mill company provided jobs for most of the people there, money for schools, and also a lot of recreational centers, plus a lot more. As the economy changed, however, some of the mills downsized or closed, and as a result, many Valleyans today must commute to jobs outside the Valley area. I grew up in a family with both parents, an older sister, and a younger brother. My family was musically inclined, and we all played musical instruments. Everyone in my family also enjoyed reading, and this is still one of my greatest pleasures. I find it to be a wonderful escape. Also, one of the favorite southern pastimes, at least in my family, was telling stories. You just pass them down from generation to generation. They're not written anywhere, and each time you tell them, they become more fanciful or more involved. I attended and was graduated from the Lynette City school system, and I subsequently attended several schools, the University of Montevallo, Auburn University, Southern Union State Community College, and Troy State University in Phenix City, Alabama, before finally earning my BS degree. By that time, I had a child, and it was a little bit harder to attend school, so it took me quite a while to do this. All of these schools, except for the University of Montevallo, were within 50 miles of my home. I believe that probably the greatest influences on my speech had to be my family and my earliest friends, since I've never really lived anywhere but in the Valley area. And also, I received very little influence from television as a small child because our family did not even own a TV until I was 5 or 6 years old.